In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for the Feast of Pentecost. The Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 25. Beginning at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." Thus far, the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our Lord speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Our text comes up on Pentecost. The point is not to be missed that Pentecost was also an Old Testament feast. Pentecost, the name Penta has to do with 50. 50 days after the children of Israel were delivered from bondage to Egypt and the legions of Pharaoh were drowned in the Red Sea. 50 days after that, they ended up at Mount Sinai and received from God the Old Testament law. Now, we have been delivered from bondage to sin, death, and the devil by the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in Easter. And here we are 50 days later, celebrating that we are now placed under the life-giving Spirit instead of the death-bestowing law. The words, however, that our Lord speaks in our text for this morning are spoken on the night in which he was betrayed. They take us back to Maundy Thursday, the night of Passover. Why is this night different from other nights? So little Jewish children were taught to ask their fathers, and they were taught to ask the question so that the answer might be given. Because on this night, the Lord delivered us from Egypt with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand, slew the firstborn of Egypt, and so forth. Jesus is being the father of this family. That is the function he is performing. But this night is different not only from other nights, it's even different from other Passover nights. This year, we're not talking about the regular old every year Passover lamb. This year, we're talking about the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, the once and for all Passover lamb who will make all other Passover lambs obsolete and unnecessary. Jesus, the Lamb of God, will be sacrificed for his sake. God and his judgment will not only pass over the believing descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Rather, this Passover lamb will be the one whose death on the cross takes away the sin of the world, that the judgment of God may pass over the children of every race, tribe, kindred, and language who believe in him and are made one with him by way of his word and his saving gifts. And since so much is different, Jesus, on this Passover evening, acting as the pater familias, as the father of the family, he goes off script. He speaks different words from those ever spoken at a Passover before. He's acting like he's not just playing his appropriate role at Passover. He's acting like he owns it, like it's his to do with as he pleases, which would be because it is. He speaks words to prepare his disciples for his sacrifice, words that will not take root and bear the fruit of unflinching faith right away, but they will on down the road. At Passover, the children of Israel recalled their deliverance from slavery in Egypt when Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. The apostles will teach them all things, and the Holy Spirit will enable these apostles to recall everything Jesus said to them, because he is the one who teaches them all things. Jesus speaks peace to them. He will speak it again on the night of his resurrection, 3 days after the speaking of the words he speaks in this morning's gospel. When he does so, he will add something further. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. These always go together. The peace of the Lord comes from the word of the Lord, made living and active in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's peace is a trouble and fear dissipating peace. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This morning, plenty of hearts are. You know, I grew up in a suburb of Los Angeles. Last night, I saw a picture of a precinct of the Los Angeles Police Department in flames. we still have not shaken the troubledness of our hearts relative to this COVID issue. Many have troubled hearts and are afraid. To you, this morning, the Lord speaks these words. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The word of the Lord delivers what it names. It does not name absence of trouble or hardship or pain or disease or riots. These things will come. But while in our fallenness we fear those things and are troubled by them, the Lord's word and spirit would deliver us from that. The Lord knows what he's doing, and the Lord cares about you. And that is true whatever color you are. Whatever happens, you may be confident of this. And confident of this, let your heart be not troubled. Let your heart be not afraid. The biggest problem that you ever had was that you were alienated from the living God by your sins. Christ Jesus fixed that. Rejoice in that. Know that the peace of God is yours by the power of the Holy Spirit delivered through Christ's words and in the face of everything else. Let your hearts be not troubled. Inasmuch as this is Pentecost, let us return to a consideration particularly of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Sounds like something we should want. So what shall we look for? What does the Holy Spirit look like? On the first Pentecost, there was rushing wind and tongues of fire. Luther says the artists get it wrong, always painting pictures with the flames on top of the head. He said, tongues go at the mouth, not on the head. And whether Luther is right as an art critic, he is certainly right about theology. The purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit was to do something to the apostles' mouths, not to the top of their heads. So why the visible fire and the audible noise of rushing wind? Those signs got everyone's attention and directed that attention to the apostles. And once everyone's eyes and ears were on the apostles, they preached. By the power of the Holy Spirit, St. Peter stood up, opened his mouth, and proclaimed Jesus. Jesus crucified. Jesus risen. Repentance and forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus baptism in particular, to wash your sins away. So what does the Holy Spirit look like? Well, really, the outward things notwithstanding, even on that first Pentecost, the main thing the Holy Spirit looked like was the apostles preaching Jesus. Today, he looks like this. The liturgy begins with the words by which the Holy Spirit came to us and delivered Jesus to us in our baptism. He looks like water combined with God's word, poured out on those who come or who are carried in to receive holy baptism. Holy Spirit looks like the word of the Lord, written in the scriptures and being read. He looks like your pastor preaching the sermon. He looks like the holy faith being confessed in the words of the Nicene Creed. Holy Spirit looks like the body and blood of Jesus being given out. For you see, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives the gifts. So when the gifts are given, well, that's what he looks like. He looks like the gifts. The gifts of Jesus are how you know it's the Holy Spirit, for sure. What the Spirit doesn't look like is people flopping around like fish out of water, babbling and crying and laughing or barking like dogs uncontrollably. What the Holy Spirit doesn't look like is having an opinion or doing something that is clearly against God's word in the Holy Scriptures, and then saying, the Holy Spirit has led me to think this way. The Holy Spirit has laid this on my heart. One of my friends in the previous town I used to live in would sometimes say, my Bible doesn't say that. Don't go blaming the Holy Spirit for that idea. What the Holy Spirit doesn't look like is the conclusion that because Jesus died for my sins, I can just go sin as much as I want, get forgiven later. What the Holy Spirit doesn't look like is someone thinking they don't need to go to church because they can believe in God without having to hear his word preached or taught, without having to receive the body and blood of Christ. Jesus tells us what the Holy Spirit will do. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things which I said to you. This you have heard repeatedly in the Gospels for the last several weeks. Jesus will send the Holy Spirit, who will put us in mind of the Jesus stuff, the Jesus words, convict the world of the Jesus stuff, bring people to faith in the Jesus stuff, in his words, in his actions, in the salvation that he has purchased. For those who engage in the craziness, or for you, any of you who need to be warned against it, the Holy Spirit's job is to preach Christ. That's it. Whatever brings us Christ is of the Holy Spirit. Whatever doesn't, isn't. If you've got a spirit that's more interested in talking about the Spirit than in talking about Jesus, that spirit is not the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will bring to remembrance all that Christ has said. What did he say? He said he would suffer, die, and rise again on the third day. What did he do? Well, he suffered. He died. He rose again on the third day. The Holy Spirit's job is to remind us of that, to put us in mind of that, and to preach that to us over and over. Always there is the temptation to make the Christian faith into something other than Christ for you. Dead for you. Risen for you. Living for you. Interceding for you. Savior for you. Any other Jesus, any other goal or teaching or big deal other than the forgiveness of sins is what the Holy Spirit is protecting us against. Any other message, feel good message, funny message, self-improvement or motivational message, if it isn't delivering the Christ of your salvation, then it isn't a sermon and you haven't been to church. Even if they did do all of this on a Sunday morning in a building that had the word church of some sort hanging on the side. Such meetings messages can easily be worse than nothing, at least if you take no medicine. At least you know you got no medicine. Go to something like that and they give you a placebo. They give you something that maybe seems medicinal, but before God, it doesn't cure a blasted thing. The Spirit gives us Christ Jesus, crucified and risen for us sinners. That's it. Jesus is now ascended into heaven. We see now why he invites us to rejoice that he is going to the Father. He told us before it came that when it did come to pass, we might believe. Well, it has come to pass. Believe. By way of word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit delivers Jesus to you more personally and intimately, and most of all, savingly, then you could have Jesus if he were standing here visibly right in front of you. So on Pentecost, the big deal is all eyes and ears on the preaching of Jesus. Today is Pentecost again. And it's the same thing again. All eyes and ears on the things that bring us Jesus. All eyes and ears on the font where you are born from above by water and the Spirit. I'm reminded on this day that in many churches, confirmations are happening. We don't have any this year. But I remember in previous years saying, you know, there are enough of you standing up here that this is kind of going to be in the way. Could you just pick it up and move it over there? Must admit to getting a certain sadistic delight watching six kids wrestle with all their might and not be able to budge an inch. But it's a teaching opportunity. You have been baptized. Christ has been given to you. And you don't. Nothing can overthrow that. You can walk away from it. But you cannot move it. All eyes and ears on the font. All eyes and ears on the pastors who absolve you and preach Christ crucified. And by the way, when I say all eyes and ears on them, well, we do hide them under robes and stick them behind pulpits because they aren't the focus of your attention. The words the Lord uses them to speak are the focus of your attention. All eyes and ears on the altar where Christ gives us his true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism, holy absolution, holy supper, the proclamation of his word. Anything else isn't Jesus. And so isn't from the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit rushes in, showing us our sin, calling us to repentance, pointing us to Jesus and his gifts. That's his job. So then there is no better way to celebrate Holy Pentecost than to receive Jesus' gifts and to give thanks for the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life that we have through faith in him, a faith that the Holy Spirit himself creates in us. Thanks be to the Holy Spirit for delivering this to us, just as Jesus promised. Blessed Pentecost, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.